Boy, is he ever worthy. And thank you, Jeremy. And appreciate so much you sharing your gifts with us this morning. I'm thrilled about the movie. This afternoon, 5 o'clock, we're going to see the movie Overcomer. And it is by the Kendricks brothers. They've produced Fireproof, Facing the Giants, most recent War Room. So each movie has gotten progressively better in production value and acting. And so it's $8 a ticket. I think we've only got less than 5 tickets left. We've got 250 tickets that we've sold. And we're trying not to sell out the first 2 rows just so that you're not sitting on the front row going, this is a great movie. And so we've got just a few tickets left. If you're interested, find me afterwards. This coming Wednesday is our finale Wednesday night for Awesome August, and it's been such a good month. Boy, you guys have come out in droves and supported our Wednesday nights. Thank you so much. The sanctuary this past Wednesday was filled to capacity, and each pastor that has come to share with us on these Wednesday nights, they leave and they say, man, this is a great church where the Lord is at work. And so I'm so proud of you folks, and I thank you for coming on Wednesday night and supporting that. This Wednesday night, to me, is the culmination of all of them. We've got Benny Tate, who's my second favorite preacher in the world, and to me, the best preacher in this area, this geographic area. He's pastor of the colossal Rock Springs, rapidly becoming one of the largest churches in the state. And you'll find out when you come and hear him why it's such a large church, because he's an incredibly gifted preacher, funny, and you will love him. And so you come Wednesday night, 5 o'clock is supper. I think we had about 150 last week for supper. Make your reservations by Tuesday at lunchtime, and service starts at 6:15 in the sanctuary. Hope that you'll be there. Hearing all this good Wednesday night preaching prompted me to ask Tammy this week. I said, you know, just out of curiosity, I said, how many great preachers do you think there are in the world? And she said, one less than you think. And so that was humbling. You know, I was coming in this morning, and I was passing one of our deacons. We've got some of the best deacons in the world. And they said, are you ready to go? And I said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm just nervous about this message today. I just feel like this is one of those Sundays I could preach the worst Sunday in the world today. And he said, nonsense. You did that last week. So it's been a very humbling week for me. Enough about my insecurities. We're going through a series of the Ten Commandments. We've looked at the importance of putting God first, not having idols in our life. Last week, we looked at the sacredness of God's name. And so today, we're going to move into the fourth commandment. The title of today's message is Calling for a Timeout. Calling for a Timeout. Let me ask you a question. You ever felt worn out and burned out? Yes. You ever just felt like your get up and go has just absolutely got up and went? I want you to think about this. The body that you live in, if you're an adult of average weight, I didn't say ideal weight, if it's average weight, in a 24-hour period, listen to what goes on in your body. Did you know, on average, in a 24-hour period, your heart beats over 103,000 times in 24 hours? Your blood travels approximately 168 million miles in a 24-hour period. You breathe over 23,000 times in 24 hours. You inhale over 400 cubic feet of air. You eat over 3 1/4 pounds in 24 hours. I'm up to about 5. I average about 5. If eating Mexican food were a sport, I would have skipped college and went straight to the pros. I'm telling you, I am good at it. In 24 hours, the average person will speak 25,000 words. I know some women that go 35,000 with gust up to 40. Easy, easy on an average day. In an average 24-hour period, you move over 750 muscles. You exercise over 7 million brain cells. You're sitting here hearing all this information. No wonder I'm so tired. No wonder I'm worn out. Today, I want us to see in God's Word where He instructs us that one day out of 7, we need to take a break. And that's the essence of this fourth commandment. As hard as it is to believe, this fourth commandment out of the 10 is the longest of all the commandments.
This particular commandment is longer than any other commandment. God gives us more information about taking a day off work and resting than he does murder, adultery, or stealing. It's very interesting. There are 94 words that make up this commandment, and so it more than any other commandment. So it must be pretty serious because God gives us so much information about it. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. And I want to read verses 8, 9, and 10. Exodus chapter 20. If you're there, say amen. God says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, nor you, nor your son or daughter, nor male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Let me just say that this culture has forgotten the value of this fourth commandment, because Sunday has become no longer a holy day, it's just a holiday. It's no longer Sunday, but it's fun day. It's no longer a day that's been set apart, but it's a day off work. And the reason that God says that we need to remember is because we have a tendency to forget what this day is for. In fact, I'd venture to say that out of all the Ten Commandments, this is the one that's most often broken and the one that's most least regarded of the ten. In fact, I'd venture to say that the majority of the ones of us who have gathered here today, we don't even know what Sabbath means. And by the way, it doesn't mean Sunday. Sabbath means a day of rest. It means to cease. It means to stop. It means to shut down and rest. And God commands, remember, these aren't 10 suggestions. These are 10 commandments in which God commands that out of every 7 days, you take one day and you seek him and you rest in him. Now, remember, God says, "I'm doing this for your benefit. I'm doing this to prevent burnout, to prevent fatigue in your life, because one out of every 7 days, you've got to realize that you have limitations, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional limitations, and we all have batteries, we all have boundaries, we all have limits that we cannot exceed. And so God says one out of every 7 days, you're to set aside, to rest, to cease doing, and just focus on being. And so make that day not a holiday, but make it a holy day." It's interesting that really one of the important parts of this commandment is not just about honoring the Sabbath, but notice what it says in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. All right, so there's also the commandment to work. There has to be balance. It can't all be play, it can't all be rest, but it can't all be work either. But there has to be a healthy balance in which you work, you labor, and then one day you shut down and rest. Now think about this, what God is saying here. God is an active God. God is a God who's on the move. He's always working. I love the creation story because God did some big stuff in the creation. Every day, what God did was bigger than the previous day, and it finally climaxed on day six in which God created man. It really in which we see the genius of God's creative effort, which he created Adam. And so for 6 days, God created heavens, earth, the sea, the fish, all this. And on the sixth day, he created man. And then so after the sixth day, the angels are thinking, what is God going to do tomorrow? I mean, tomorrow's going to be huge, because God's in the zone. God's on fire. He's on a roll. What's he going to do tomorrow? Guess what he did on the seventh day? He rested. Why did he rest? Was he tired? Was he spent? Was he give out? No, God doesn't get tired according to Isaiah. God rested because he was finished. He did all that he needed to do. And so on the seventh day, he kicked his holy feet up and he just rested and enjoyed the fruits of his labor. God enjoyed it so much that he blessed that day, sanctified it, and set it apart as a model for us to do the same. Now you think about it, even in the sporting world, it honors a break. If you're playing professional sports, you've got to take a break. Boxing, they have a 1 minute break between 3 minute rounds. Baseball, they have the seventh inning stretch. Football, they have halftime and timeouts. And so if the sporting world can honor the value of rest and taking a break, why can't we? And so the seventh day is a time to cease doing and just focus on being who God wants us to be. Now, here's one thing that I'm discovering in my life. I'm just going to be very honest with you. I'm 49-year-old business years old, and I'll be 50 in May. And I'm learning something people told me over and over nearly every day of my life. Time flies. It goes fast, and in many instances, it seems like the days kind of drag on, but the years fly by. When I was in school, it seemed like it took forever for summers to get here. Is summer ever going to get here? And then you graduate, and then you go to college, and then you meet someone and get married, and then you have children. And once you have children, then the days roll into weeks, and the weeks into months, and the months into years. And before you know it, somebody's asking you, what do you want for Christmas? It can't be time for Christmas again. It seemed like Christmas was just a couple of months ago. And life is like a downhill bike ride. It just goes faster and faster. And so the importance of the Sabbath is it's like a stop sign. It just tells us, slow it down a little. And it forces life to a halt. And it makes time go a little slower when 1 out of 7 days we're stopping and appreciating the value of time. The Sabbath is so important because it tells life, now hold on just a cotton picking second and let me catch my breath today. I've got to regroup and I've got to get myself together because Monday's coming. So let's just kind of answer some basic questions this morning. What can you do on the Sabbath? What can't you do? What is permissible to do on the Sabbath? And let me just say this. This commandment is meant to be a positive one. And not a negative one. Sunday is a day that we set aside as a day of joy and happiness and pleasure. But most of all, it's a day that we seek God first, Himself. And so we use the Sabbath as a day to rest and to recharge and to do those things that we enjoy doing. So I'm not going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do on the Sabbath. I'm just going to tell you it's God's day and you have to seek Him first today. I'm just curious, how many of you grew up in a home where you couldn't do anything on Sunday? You went to church, you went to Sunday school, you went to church, you came home, mama cooked a big meal in the kitchen, you ate, and then you did what? You just took a nap. That was it. That's what you did on Sunday. You know, in the days in which Jesus did ministry, the Sadducees concocted a set of rules, a set of things that you could and could not do on the Sabbath. And they had 1,521 rules for what you could and could not do on the Sabbath. The Sadducees concocted all of these things. That's why they were sad, you see, because they couldn't have any fun on the Sabbath. It's a true story. In the 17th century in Scotland, they had all these rules in Scotland for what they could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And so a man was arrested for smiling on the Sabbath. It's on the internet. It's got to be true. I'm telling you, I saw it on the internet. There was a man in Scotland who had been off at sea for over a year. He came home in port on the Sabbath. The boat landed. His wife was waiting on him. He got off the boat and kissed her, and they arrested him for kissing her because kissing was considered work on the Sabbath. You say, how much work would it be to kiss a lady? Well, it depends on how ugly she is. I don't know. You know, sometimes it can be a lot of work. I did hear about a man who kept taking his wife to work with him because he didn't want to have to kiss her goodbye. That's how bad things were. So that wasn't on the internet. I can't verify that. And so what are some instructions? What are we to do on the Sabbath? The first thing I would tell you is this. We're to rest our bodies on the Sabbath. The commandment is clear. And let me just say this. This is a biblical basis for a Sunday afternoon nap. Can I get an amen in the house? You ever have the best nap on Sunday afternoon is when you wake up and there's just a little bit of drool coming out and you don't know your name, you don't know what year it is, you don't know anything. God has anointed that kind of nap. One writer said this, a person who is submerged in business all week long had better come up for air on Sunday. There's a lot of wisdom to that statement. That's just the nature of this fast-paced culture that you and I live in. We're 90 to nothing all week. We're zipping around from one place to the next, one meeting to the next, and we've got our phone in one hand, and we've got our Starbucks in the other hand, and we're constantly trying to figure out the grocery store, which line is going to move the fastest, which cashier looks the most competent, which parking space am I going to land the closest to the mall, which way can I go where there's not as many red lights. I had kind of a crazy discovery a couple weeks ago, and I was in a funeral procession. We were headed from the church to make a memorial, a cemetery, and something just hit me as a police escort was in front of us, and we were zapping on along. And you know, nearly every day I have to drive into Macon, and I go either Eisenhower Parkway or Mercy University, a lot of red lights, and so I feel like hours of my day sitting at a red light going, all right, hurry up, I need to go, this is enough, I've done caught three of these things. And so it just hit me that after you die, the one time you're not in a hurry, you get to run all the red lights. It's just poetic justice. But we live our lives by the philosophy that time is money. Listen, the philosophy you better live your life by is that time is precious, because money can be replaced, but time can't. And so that's what the Sabbath does, is it forces us to respect time a little more, because we're stopping, we're honoring God, and we're slowing time down. We're reminded of the sacredness of time. If you're to look in your glove compartment, most likely in my glove compartment, probably in yours too, there's an owner's manual to your vehicle. And if you were to open it up, there's a section on maintenance in that owner's manual. And it'll tell you in that section when you should service your vehicle, what you should do to it, exactly what miles this should be done, and when that should be done. And what it is the ones who have designed and created that vehicle, they know best how to maintain it, because they want that vehicle to be reliable for you. And so if you're to look at it, you'll see, I need to service it this time. I need to change this instance. That's the way the owner designed it to be, so that it would be more reliable, so your car would last longer. Let me just say this. The Bible is God's owner's manual to us, and this fourth commandment is His maintenance agreement. Don't forget, God designed us. He created us. He breathed life into our existence, and He says for 6 days, you go after it. You hit it hard. You stay busy, but on the seventh day, you shut it down and rest and cease. And if you'll do that, you'll last longer and life will be more productive. And so we're to rest our bodies on the Sabbath, but I want you to see, secondly, we are to worship our God on the Sabbath. The commandment says to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, remembering involves more than just spurring our memories, but remembering means we're showing our love for God in worship on His day that He set apart to be worshiped. And part of what this commandment entails is that on the Sabbath day, on Sunday, the day that we're called, that the resurrection day, we're called to come and to worship God corporately with His other kids. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. So every 7 days, God instructs us to come into His house and to thank Him. That's part of our worship. We're thanking Him for His provision for the previous 6 days, and we're asking His provision and blessing over the coming 6 days. And so in the context of worship, what God does is through our singing, through our giving, through our fellowship, through our listening, is that God tunes us up spiritually and physically and emotionally to get us ready for the coming week. For me, coming together to worship with my church family, a rejuvenation takes place when I come into God's house with His people. Psalm 122 says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So when Sunday rolls around, that's the highlight of my week. It's something I dearly look forward to, because I need to be rejuvenated. I need to be tuned up. It's tough being a believer in this fallen world. I don't know about you, but it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I feel like I'm wearing Alpo underwear most of the time. And so I need to come in here with you and be rejuvenated. You ever heard that expression? Well, that really got my goat. You know where that came from? Is back years ago when horse racing was so big, and and they were having a big race on the following day, a lot of times that horse would be anxious and would feed off the owner's anxiety, and so the horse wouldn't rest very good overnight. And so what the owner of that horse would do is a lot of times he would take a goat, put it in that stall, and that goat would have a calming effect on that horse, and he would rest better. He would feel more settled with the presence of that goat in the stall. And so what would happen in some instances is the night before a big race, when the owner of another horse, a competitor, he would come in, he would get that goat out of that stall, because he didn't want that horse rested. And so that owner of that horse would walk in the next morning, he'd say, "Who got my goat?" That's a weird illustration, I know, but what God does on the Sabbath, when we come together with his people, is it's like God's putting a goat in our stall, and he says, "Rest in me, worship me, come together, enjoy, be rejuvenated. We need it, because this world is exhausting, it's demanding, it's frustrating, and there's people always trying to get your goat." There's a lot of mean and a lot of aggressive people who just don't want you to be happy. But if we'll make it a priority to come together and worship and focus on how good God is, then God will sharpen us. He'll take the edges off, and we'll be reminded of his goodness, and we'll enjoy the fellowship of other believers. It's a day to worship. It's a day to rest. But I want you to see, thirdly, that Sunday is a day to enjoy our family. All throughout American history, Sunday has the beauty of Sunday has been worship and family. Worship and family. It's just God's special day that he has set aside, that we spend time with him and worship with our church family, and then we leave and we go eat with our own family, and then we go home and we enjoy their presence. Oftentimes, I'll invite somebody to church. I mean, if you're not doing anything this Sunday, would love to have you at Lozella. And sometimes they'll say, "You know, that's the only day I can sleep late. We don't start till 11. If you can't enjoy a night's sleep, get up, take a shower, and be at church by 11, you need to go see a doctor. You know, it's not that hard. It's not like I'm inviting everybody to the 8:30 service, because I know that's early for some people. But 11 o'clock is not early. And let me just say this. There's no better place to spend time with your family than in church with God's family. And there's nothing better that parents can do for their children than to have them in church with God's family. Let me just say this. I absolutely love Sundays. Even with the pressure and the anxiety of having to preach, and even with the nerves that I experience, it's still by far and away my favorite day of the week, because I don't just love this church. I am in love with this church. And every time I get to come spend with you is a time that I cherish. I was thinking on my way in this morning, on this Sunday 10 years ago, I stood on this stage and you guys invited me, voted on me to be your associate pastor. And that has forever changed mine and Tammy's life. 10 years ago today, we stood here, and Shannon Back, our pastor, said, "This many people has voted for you. I can't remember that, but one person didn't." Who are you? Show me. But I'm just so blessed. I love this church and the fact that God commands us to come together one out of 7 days and seek his presence and enjoy his fellowship. And then we get to go out to eat. And then I get to go home for a couple hours and hang out with Sister T. It doesn't get any better than that. The only thing that I'm disappointed about Sunday is that it only comes once a week. I mean, I just dearly love it. It's such a delight to come here and to seek God's face with you folks, and then to go home and to rest for a little while, to enjoy my family. And I just think about, you know, what really cranks my plow on a cold day is to think about this. As much as I love Sundays, heaven is going to be like that every day, multiplied times 10,000. You can take the most wonderful, cherished memory that you've got in your brain, and you can multiply that times 10,000, and you can't even scratch the surface of what heaven's going to be like. I was just thinking about that this week, and I was thinking about what was probably the highlight in my life, the one memory where it was just a game changer, where I just felt most alive. And I remember it's February the 9th, Annie, 1996. Annie was born. Tammy delivered her by C-section, and I was watching it all unfold, and they took her out, and they handed her to me, and I looked into her eyes, and something within me deeply connected to that precious child, and I've never gotten over it. And of all the things that I've cherished in life, that one particular memory just stands out. Let me just say this: as much as I felt alive, as much as I felt joy, that doesn't scratch the surface to what heaven's going to be like. And the best part is, it's going to be like that each and every day. You say, man, that sounds good, and I'm going to get to go to heaven, I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus, I'm going to worship Him face to face, I'm going to get to rest. Let me just say this, you don't have to wait to heaven before you learn to rest. You can learn to rest here. One out of every 7 days is a day that God has set apart for us to cease doing and being active, and we just focus on being His child. And so rest your body. Enjoy your family. Worship God. There's nothing like it. It was a man who was very wealthy, very driven. It was all about money to him. It was all about his possessions. Lived in a huge house, drove the fanciest cars available, and finally decided he was going to purchase a yacht. This was going to be the best purchase of his life, and everybody was going to envy him. And so he was going to finally purchase a yacht, and he's walking through the marina, and he sees this fisherman laying in a hammock on his boat, and he said, "Buddy," he said, "why aren't you out there fishing?" He said, "Because I caught enough fish for today." He said, "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" He said, "What am I going to do with them?" He said, "It's easy. You could earn more money. You could buy a better boat. You could go out in the deeper water and you could catch more fish, and you could purchase nylon nets and you can catch even more fish, and you can make even more money, and soon you'd have a fleet of boats and you'd be rich like me." And he said, "Then what would I do?" He said, "Then you could sit back and enjoy life." He said, "What do you think I'm doing right now?" Just learn the value of rest. Learn the value of seeking God's face in worship. Learn to just enjoy your family. It's not about the money. It's not about the stuff. It's not about all that you accumulate in this life. It's not about your title and climbing the corporate ladder. Just learn to rest and be secure in who Jesus is. When you learn to do that, guess what? Life will be much more abundant, and you'll be much more effective in the things that matter the most, which is serving Jesus. Let's pray together. The invitation's simple this morning. If you've never received Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, there is no greater need in your life. Today, in the quietness of this moment, you can call out to Him. You can believe in your heart that He is Lord. And you can call out to Him as your Savior and invite Him to be your Lord and Savior. Let me just tell you this morning, you're a sinner. Jesus is a Savior, and sinners need a Savior. And so today you can call on Him and He'll save you. If you want to know what it means to follow Him, I'll be standing down front. Rick will be standing down front, and we invite you to come. I know it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of boldness, but I promise you, nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to wonder, what in the world are they coming down for? We're just going to celebrate that God's moving in your heart. And so you come this morning. If there's someone sitting between you and an aisle, they'll graciously move. Just say, "Excuse me." They'll get out of your way. If you're looking for a church to join, we'd love to have you here. This is a good church, but you joining us this morning would be one step closer to us being a great church. Maybe you just need to come kneel at the altar and spend some time with God. Maybe if you were to be honest, you'd have to say, "Chris, I am running and gunning, and I am exhausted, and I am worn to a frazzle. And I needed this today. I needed to know that I've got to stop. I've got limitations and I've got boundaries. And thank you for reminding me. Maybe you just want to come down to the altar and say, God, I'm making a covenant with you today that I'm going to learn the value of the Sabbath, and I'm going to just enjoy it, and I'm going to rest and worship and enjoy my family. And maybe that's you this morning. And if that's what God's calling you to do, you be obedient today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you would move in this auditorium today. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be standing down front. If there's a need in your life, you come as he leads you to come.